Welcome back to Inside on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. With everything going on in the world and here at home, we all deserve a break from the news, right? So we decided to set aside our last segment of the week to talk wine. Not so much about the business of wine, but to get down and dirty about what we like, what's good this time of year, and what we can expect in the upcoming harvest. And with that, we welcome back to Insight, Rick Cushman. Rick is a New York Times best-selling author, former Sacramento Bee columnist, and longtime Insight contributor, and knows a thing or two about wine. Welcome back, Rick. Good morning.
Good morning. Happy wine tasting season.
Yes, yes. Actually, today is my anniversary. I hope my husband is listening. Maybe get some tips on what we can have later on tonight.
Get her a lovely sparkling. It's always the first place to go.
I love sparkling. You know, in preparation for this segment, the Insight team was talking about the kind of wine that they like, and it really can vary, and there's no judgment. You can head up to Napa Valley and then, or even like boxed wine. So
yes,
there's something for everyone.
Yes. Well, you know, I have two rules of wine. First one is if you love it, you're right. If you hate it, you're right. And the second one is wear dark colors.
Yeah, that is a great idea. I have made that mistake one or two times.
Right. That's all you really need to know. And then there are no wrong answers.
Yeah. Why is now a great time to wine taste in Northern California? I mean, I love harvest season.
Yes. Well, and so does everybody else. And so there's two things going on. One, crush is just starting. It's a little tiny bit early, but not horribly early, but it's still a bit early, which does all kinds of things. One, the regions start to smell like wine. You know, you get into Napa Valley or in Shenandoah Valley, you know, which is up above Plymouth and Amador, or some of those places where they're heavy with wineries, and you literally can smell like the crush going on. You can smell the pulp and the grapes, and it's wonderful. But also because it is popular, that the wineries set it up for that. So they expect to have visitors, they expect to show you a lot. You can even taste baby wine, which is, you know, wine in getting, you know, as it's fermenting, which is kind of cool if you've never seen it before, especially the smaller wineries. It's in, like, it'll be in, you know, not stuff in the tanks, but if they're doing it in a barrel, it's fizzing and popping. That's our little friend's yeast eating the sugar and creating alcohol and CO2. And they may let you taste it, and it's super sweet, by the way, because wine grapes are actually way sweeter than regular grapes.
Yeah, the first time I actually did that, it was in Morgan Hill. It was many years ago, and it was such a treat, knowing that you could actually taste wine when it's still in the barrel and still kind of getting its personality and character.
Yeah, I was on a tour, and there was a couple of people tasting with it. When you taste that stuff, one guy goes, "Wow, this stuff is great. You should sell it." And they go, "Well, we do. We call it wine."
We call it wine. So given that it's still summer and we're heading into the weekend, how should people plan for wine tasting in Northern California? It can be kind of overwhelming. You don't have to go to Napa or Sonoma, but you got the foothills. You even have the Delta as well.
Yeah, yeah. Wine tasting in every direction. But a quick couple of overall tips for everything is it is still summer. You know, we were talking this morning, listening to Donna talk about the weather, and she says, well, it's still cool. It's in the low 90s. Well, 90s. Low 90s is not cool for wine. Really, anything over the high 70s, you can cook your wine. And so, I say this every time, is always like bring a cooler. Just a little styrofoam cooler or anything if you got a decent cooler and throw in a couple things of ice. So if you buy wine, you know, from one place to the next, you'll make it home. The second one is when you go tasting, my suggestion is, if you could possibly do this, is don't let them tell you the tasting notes. And in fact, don't read the tasting notes for two reasons. Wine's a creature of suggestion. So if it says it's going to taste like cherries and blackberries, you'll be looking for cherries and blackberries. And you may actually taste that in there. But part of it is that they'll tell you it tastes like something. And if it doesn't to you, your brain goes, oh, well, this wine must not be for me. I don't really like it. So if you can get them to not do that, and sometimes that's hard, you know, but then it tastes the wine. And the one question you ask yourself is simply, do you like it?
Yeah.
That's the question. That's the end, you know, and if you want to start then figuring out why, go for it. But you kind of have to fight that urge to try to be a wine geek, because wine is not about geekiness. Wine is about having fun.
Yeah, and it can take away from the experience,
yes,
especially if you're not into, you know, kind of, you know, that quote unquote wine snobbiness. You just want to drink it and enjoy it. And also when you're tasting, it depends on what you eat before and what tasting it is, actually, that can change the way you taste the wine.
Yes, and everybody tastes something different. And one of the fun things I do on my podcast, which is on hiatus, but is, you know, we will open up a couple of different wine magazines on the same wine, and the descriptions are totally different. And these are wine pros, and that doesn't mean they don't like the wine or even taste a similar wine, but everybody gets something different. So the question isn't what do they get. Plus, as somebody used to write those tasting notes for some wineries, you know, they're writing very romantic descriptions of they're lovely, and you'll fall in love with the wine. And fall in love with the wine or not on your own is always the best way to go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's get back to actually keeping the wine bottles at the right temperature, because I had to learn that the hard way. I mean, if you're going to a couple places, it's the summer, your car gets hot. I mean, if you can explain what that does to the wine.
So a couple of things. Wine actually, think about it. It's a liquid, and as it gets warm, and it's also got, this is air in the bottle, it expands. And so if it expands, it might push the cork out a little bit. If it pushes the cork out a little bit, among the things that happen is oxygen gets in. And that's why you cork a wine, and that's why you seal it if you've had some of it, is that the oxygen will change the wine even within a day or two. And if you ever wonder about our friend oxygen, just slice an apple and put it on your counter and look how quickly it turns brown. Mm-hmm. You know, so it does that to the wine. So that's part of it. Second is it'll change the chemistry of the wine. And then when you're hot, by the way, it also changes the chemistry of how you taste wine.
Oh, really?
So like when we are hot, we taste bitterness and sweetness more when something is hot or we're hot. And so it's one of the reasons we don't like a big cab in the summer, because it's the tannins which give it some bitterness, and it just tastes kind of wrong. And whereas other things taste a little, the sweetness might come up, which is why whites sometimes taste even more delicious, because you'll pick up the sugars and the acid, which balances it out, which does not increase in hot weather. So there's that too.
Where are some places that we should go in our area that aren't, you know, because sometimes with Napa and Sonoma, there's like that sticker shock of price,
yeah,
but there are affordable places, you know, within an hour drive from Sacramento.
Yeah, I love Napa. I love Sonoma. I've written a book about Napa, so I will never say anything bad about Napa, but it is super expensive.
Yeah.
And but we are in the center. There's a reason why we are farm to fork capital of America, is because we are centrally located for everything, including wine. Clarksburg is 20 minutes away, literally 20 minutes away. It feels like forever, which is nice, but it's 20 minutes away. You can go down. It's a great wine region. You can go down the old Sugar Mill or Bogle down there, mm-hmm, and they have a nice place for a picnic. And there's a bunch of little guys up along and down the levee roads. And it's never forget Clarksburg. It's so close. And then our foothills, they're an hour away, so it's closer and easier than Napa. I would say start with Amador County, because Shenandoah Valley Road is that's above Plymouth. So it's like, I think it's 160 is what it's out there. And then it is like wandering through any beautiful wine country. It's hills and there's a couple of horse ranches, but mostly beautiful wineries. And so many people up there do so many good things. You know, I have some faves. Do you want to hear faves, or should we be picking?
Yeah, let's do faves.
So some,
I really like Story in Amador County.
Yeah, Story's a very, very popular one. Some of my favorites are Andis. I love Andis. The Iron Hub, which is a little way around the corner, another one of my faves up there. Diari, C.G. Diari, Scott Harvey, Rundquist is another good one up there. I have to write these down because there's so many. Sobon, Terre Rouge, Carmer.
I mean, we're talking about dozens.
Yes.
There's
dozens. And seriously, there's no bad choices up there. That's another one of the really nice things. And they charge now like $5 or $10.
And often you get to meet the owner. And I love that charm in Amador County.
Yeah. And my suggestion is go for places with really nice views. And that's why two of my favorites are both Andis and Iron Hub, because they are on hills or in areas where you just can get these really, really great little views. And then El Dorado County, mm-hmm, which is actually sort of three areas. You know,
you have Somerset, which is kind of on the border of El Dorado and Amador.
Yeah, and that's the Fair Play area-ish. And that's kind of, if you kept on going up that road through the Amador County wineries. It's another, 5-10 miles up the road. It's maybe 5 miles up the road. It's a little farther away, but there's a lot of really great little wineries there, and it's kind of forgotten. You're never going to run into crowds. And if you do go to there, go to Skinner for sure. They're up on a hill. They have their winemakers. They come from like a Pinot Noir background, mm-hmm. so all of their wines have this silkiness
beautiful
to them.
Beautiful view.
Yeah, and there's places like Perry Creek and Windwalker and Mas Restero, which is the guy will come out and play the guitar for you. And their wine's really good. He's Italian, and but he does a really nice job with the wines like Cab, and up there it's really good. But then El Dorado County, too, also is Carson Road. You know, that's mm-hmm. right along Highway 50, right above Placerville. Super easy to get to.
Is that kind of like the Camino area?
Yes, okay. Exactly right.
Apple Hill?
Yeah. It's Apple Hill. And so like you get off at one exit past Placerville, really in Placerville, get up to Carson Road, turn right, and you run into things like Boger, and those folks are celebrating their 50th anniversary, and they're one of the pioneers, and also one of the really genuinely nice families of California wine. And they're just a good place to stop and a lovely place to have a picnic. And you got Lava Cap, you got I gotta look at my list because there's so many.
And I know for people who are listening, you may be getting like overstimulated, but it's so easy just to drive down. Just drive down Carson Road or just head up to Amador County, and there's so many options, and you can't really go wrong.
Yeah, I'm throwing names at you, but you know, so Google the wine region. Go to it's Edwa or El Dorado County Wine Association or Amador Vintners, or same thing with our friends in Lodi. And just pick out some of your wineries. Lodi's a little tiny bit more work because they're a little less condensed. Mm-hmm. You know, you're driving down 99, you make a left. But same thing with those other regions. Anywhere you go, there's actually Lodi's turned into this really outstanding area. And Zin is one of the great things, but it's not just Zin. In fact, there actually has a cool region. So there's a lot of great whites down there. There's a winery called Acquiesce that only mm-hmm. does whites. And they're all beautiful for the white wine lovers out there.
Yeah, and white's great right now for summer. Rick, thank you so much. I know it's like 10 o'clock. It's still the morning, but it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
Yes. And if you're a professional, you can start drinking wine now.
Yeah. Rick Cushman is our local wine expert and a New York Times best-selling author. Thanks again, Rick.
My pleasure.
That is it for Insight today. You can learn more about our guests at capradio.org/insight. You can also subscribe to the Insight podcast. If you want to join the conversation, email us at insight@capradio.org. I'm Vicki Gonzalez. Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend. We'll catch you back here on Monday.